Hello and welcome to Bleeding Black and Gold Podcast. I am your host, Double D, and this is a podcast about the Iowa Hawkeyes following their sports from football, basketball, anything in general that involves the Iowa Hawkeyes. This is the introductory podcast. This is the very first one I'm doing, so bear with me. I'm going to introduce myself. I've been a lifelong Hawkeye fan. I've lived in Iowa my whole life. Grew up watching games with my dad since I was very young. My very first game that I can remember was the 2001 Alamo Bowl when Nate Kading kicked the game-winning field goal to beat Texas Tech. The following season, the 2002 season, was really the big one for me, and that was the one that I really fell in love with them. Watching Brad Banks go, almost winning the Heisman that year, losing out to Carson Palmer. Dallas Clark went into Mackey, and watching how much he grew and became a top of the line tight end in the NFL. Bob Sanders, who went on to be a defensive MVP in the NFL in 2007. Obviously, they went 11-1 and then went on to lose the Orange Bowl that year. But that was the season that really kicked it into me and that I really started falling in love with them. And I've watched almost every single football game with my dad ever since. Basketball, I got started in the early 2000s, the Steve Alford era. I know there's some groans out there, but that's when I started watching with players like Jeff Horner, Greg Brunner, Doug Thomas, Eric Hansen, Brody Boyd, guys like that. You know, those were some pretty fun teams to watch back then. But that really got me started in on basketball, not only watching the Hawkeyes, but playing it myself. I started playing a lot of basketball after that. Loved playing basketball, still do when I can. So now I'm going to talk about why I decided to start this podcast. For one, when I did some research on it, when I've looked into Hawkeye podcasts, there's not really that many out there. There's not a whole lot of options for people, and most of the ones that are out there are from sports writers. And not to discredit them or say they're bad, but, you know, for a living, they write columns and articles about the team. They're around the team. I think it'll be kind of nice to get something from a fan's perspective, from someone that's watching the games that can sit there and you know, aren't doing this for a job, aren't doing this professionally. It's also something I'd love to get the fans involved with, that I'd love to get other Hawkeyes' opinions, or even, you know, Iowa State fans or whoever wants to, you know, ask questions or make comments. Love to get people's input for about the podcast, about ways to improve it, things I can change, things I can talk about, to ask questions for me that I can answer, give my opinions on. Certainly, I know, obviously, a lot of people have different opinions. There's a lot of different thoughts. But I think it's nice to kind of have a place where those can gather up. I love talking about the Hawkeyes. I love discussing with them. Don't have many people I can really talk to them about. Most of the people I do, you know, are just kind of half-heartedly following them. My dad, I talk to a lot about him, and that's really about it. So it's something that I really enjoy doing and something I really want to do, is talk about the Hawkeyes, discuss about them. And I'd love to make this a weekly podcast. If anybody's interested, if, you know, anybody listens, stuff like that. But growing up, I had two choices, really, and that was to be an Iowa fan or an Iowa State fan. We have no professional teams in Iowa. For those of you that live here, you know that. So, you know, college sports is really the big thing. And I certainly wasn't going to choose Iowa State because my dad was a Hawkeye fan. Most of my family are Hawkeye fans, so it just kind of came natural. That's what I was around. That's from the time I was a little baby. I was being dressed up in Hawkeye gear. So it felt natural to me, and I just kind of fell right in line with it. For those of you out there who are interested in discussing the Hawkeyes, talking about the Hawkeyes or anything like that, I do have a Twitter page, an official Twitter page for Bleeding Black and Gold. That Twitter page is at BleedingBG. For anybody that wants to go on there, talk, comment, whatever, ask questions, you know, even, you know, just let me know how you feel about this podcast, things I can improve on. I'm certainly more than willing to listen and take in fans' perspective. This is the first time I'm doing this, so it'll be something that'll take me some time to get used to and really kind of get down. So anyway, enough about me. Let's move on to this week in Iowa sports. So I just got done watching the Northwestern game. We'll get to that one here in a bit. That was obviously an exciting one, but we'll start with the game on Thursday against Indiana. Iowa won that game 77-72. They were up by 10 at half, but got outscored by 5 in the second half, but still pulled away with the victory. In that game, Tyler Cook had 21 points and 7 rebounds. Jordan Bohannon added 25 points and iced that game away in the end with some clutch free throw shooting. Wieskamp also put up 13 points. So overall, it was a pretty good team game. Garza wasn't much of a factor. He only played 13 minutes, got in some foul trouble. And Moss wasn't a factor either. He only played 14 minutes and had 0 points. Moss has been struggling the last couple games, having 0 points last two games after he went on a little bit of a hot streak there. Wieskamp's been pretty steady. The young freshman has proven that he can hang with upperclassmen, and it's shown that he can play pretty good. Not much in the way from the bench production in the Indiana game. Bear played 25 minutes, but only shot 2 from 7 from the field, including 1 from 6 from the 3-point line. He did put up 6 rebounds, though, including 3 offensive. On the Indiana side of things, they gave up 22 points to the star freshman, Langford. But really, outside of him, a lot of people pretty much struggled. Morgan put up 17 in his return, so he did pretty good. But when you look at the team stats, overall, it was pretty even for the most part. Field goal percentage, Indiana actually shot a little better than Iowa at 49% to Iowa's 45. Iowa did a little better on the three-point side of things, making 10 of 25 for 40%, where Indiana did 7 for 21 for 33%. Free throws were about even. Iowa attempted 17. Indiana attempted 18. Both made 13 of them. Rebounds were pretty even at 30 to 33 in favor of Indiana. Assists, were 17 to 14 in favor of Indiana. So overall, this game really was pretty evenly matched and pretty evenly played. Iowa went into a place that's a tough environment to play in and pulled out the win. Personally, I thought they played pretty well in that game. They've struggled on the road in recent years, and that not just in tough arenas, but pretty much anywhere. And to go into Indiana, who has been struggling of late, but still a tough place to play with some talented players, and to come out with a victory, including being up by 10 at halftime, was pretty impressive to me. It shows, I think this game last year, the team last year would have lost this game. They've vastly improved their ability to win close games, to win road games, and to finish games off. The turnovers have gotten a little better. Defense is better than it was last year. At times, they show that it's not, but overall, they've played pretty good defense. But that victory, the Indiana game, these are the kind of games they need to win. These are the kind of games that you can accept losses to teams like Michigan State, which obviously have beaten up Iowa twice already this year. Minnesota on the road, that's acceptable, relatively speaking. And, you know, they lost at home to Wisconsin, which is a heartbreaker. But you can't lose to teams like Indiana. You can't lose to teams like Northwestern. You got to go, and rather if it's at home or on the road, you need to win those games. Iowa went out Thursday and were able to do that. That put them at 7-5 in the conference and 18-5 overall. The chances of them winning the conference are very unlikely, but they can at least get a bye at the beginning of the conference tournament. And under McCaffrey, Iowa has been dreadful in the Big Ten tournament, so hopefully getting that bye will help them a little bit. But overall, that was a good game, and it was one that they pulled out, and they went out and won it. Despite the fact that really they didn't have any discernible advantage at any point of the game. When you look at the stats of the game, there's really no really nothing that stands out. That both teams were pretty even on everything overall. And now to the game that everybody has been talking about. It just ended a little bit ago, right before I started recording this, but on Sunday night, Iowa took on Northwestern. Northwestern at 12-11 came into Carver-Hawkeye Arena, and to be honest, for most of the game, outplayed Iowa, out-hustled Iowa, and blew Iowa out of the building. I mean, Iowa had no answers to them. Iowa was flat, and for most of the game, it looked like Iowa was going to get blown out. Vic Law, who has been struggling as of late, thinks he's been shooting like 18% on three-pointers his last eight games or something like that, came in and absolutely lit up Iowa. Only missed one three-pointer in the whole first half. Ended up finishing with 24 points and 10 rebounds. Still had an outstanding game. The area that I thought, and most people thought, Iowa would have the advantage in was down low in the bigs. And while Tyler Cook did pretty decent, nobody else really got going. Luka Garza got in some foul trouble. He looked off the whole game. He looked like he was having some issues. Kreener really wasn't much of a factor in that game. When you look at Garza, he had 0 points in 17 minutes and was 0 for 4, only contributing one rebound, and ended up having four fouls. Kreener only played 9 minutes. He did have 3 points, but not really anything to note, no rebounds. I thought McCaffrey played really well off the bench, playing 19 minutes and had 5 assists and 3 points. After airballing that first three-pointer, he came back and hit one. Bear really wasn't a non-factor, and it looked like he may have got an elbow to the head toward the end of that game, so we'll have to see what happens with him. But really, the star of the game, I should say the star of the second half, is obviously Bohannon. Didn't do much of anything in the first half, but went on a tear late in that second half. Moss was early on was the hot hand. Him and Wieskamp both played really well. Wieskamp ended up with 21 points on 7 of 10 of shooting. Moss ended up with 16 points on 6 of 12 shooting, and I think you'll take those numbers from them any day of the week. But really, those stats don't tell the story of the game. Most of that came toward the end of the game. For those of you who watched the game, obviously it was not pretty to watch. A lot of the fans left with like 5 minutes left. I think it was, there's 4 minutes and 30 seconds left in that game, and Iowa was down by 15. So before we talk about the end of that, let's just go to what happened the whole time before then. So really, Northwestern was doing whatever they wanted to Iowa. They were getting open shots. Vic Law was lighting them up. I mean, everything he was shooting seemed good, but it's not like he was getting guarded too tough either. A lot of the plays reminded me of what Iowa's defense was like last year. Just watching guys get wide open 3-point shots, watching guys get right to the hoop. I mean, really, it was quite embarrassing for the most part against a team that, and I don't want to discredit Northwestern, they played really hard in that game. They worked their tails off and outworked Iowa, but it's still Northwestern, and outside of Vic Law, a lot of these guys really, you know, you don't really hear anything about or anything like that. So the way Iowa's defense was pretty embarrassing for the most part for most of that game. A lot of lack of effort. At one point early in the second half, McCaffrey took out Garza, Wieskamp, Moss, and Bohannon, and from reports was yelling at them that they're not playing hard enough. The only one that got staying was Tyler Cook, and to his credit, Tyler Cook did play really hard, and he played really well, having 19 points and 11 rebounds. Also playing 37 of the 40 minutes, so he only got a few minutes rest in that game. But I know a lot of Hawkeye fans out there give a lot of grief to Tyler Cook. You know, if you remember the game, Minnesota game, toward the end of it, he lost the ball driving to the hoop, trying to play hero ball. And, you know, I think the talk about him leaving last year to test the NBA waters, I think rubbed people the wrong way a lot. And usually you'll see that happen with players that talk about or discuss going pro. But I think a lot of people hold that against him. But to me, he actually is a very good player. He came out this last year, worked really hard on his game. The results have been there. His rebounding numbers are up. He's been very good at rebounding. Down low, he's not perfect, but he is certainly better than he was last year. And he also seems like he's been the consummate teammate this year, really pumping people up, being excited. You know, even with Garza's emergence over the Big Ten season, he's really seemed like he's been happy for him and willing to give up some of his spotlight to Garza to allow Garza to do what he does. But he's really been working hard down low, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that. He's those 11 rebounds today show that. But other than him, the rebounding was atrocious. Iowa got out-rebounded 37-26 today, which you can't, I mean, there's no excuse for. Iowa was a significantly larger team. And, you know, Northwestern just played harder and wanted it more, but that's it's no excuse. There's no reason, no way that any of this should happen. Without question, this cannot happen against a team like Northwestern when Iowa has a significant height advantage. But anyway, let's go down the stretch of that game. I was down by 15 points with 4:30 left. And, you know, a lot of fans were starting to leave the arena at that point. I know a lot of people turning their TV off. People were very unhappy. So Tyler Cook had a couple free throws. He missed some, made some. But by the time we get down to about 4 minutes left, Iowa's down by 13 points when Wieskamp goes to the line, makes two free throws, and cuts it to a 12-point game. Then they get a turnover. Bohannon made two free throws to cut the lead to 9. Couple more Northwestern turnover, Iowa turnover, a couple more things. Couple free throws from Northwestern. Put it up by 12, and I think that's the point that a lot of Hawkeye fans started, you know, well, this is going to be it. But then Bohannon came back, made a three-point jumper, cut it to a 9-point lead. And then after that, the Iowa press, full-court press, really did a number on Northwestern. They really had a hard time breaking out of that. You know, watching their demeanor, it was really, they were really having a hard time getting ball across half court and, you know, even making it to half court in the first place. But we go down to about 2 minutes and Wieskamp makes a 3-pointer. That cuts the game to 8 points. Crowd starts getting a little into it. You know, a lot of people still didn't think it was going to happen, but Northwestern comes down, misses a shot. Then Jordan Bohannon makes another 3-pointer to cut the lead to 5. 1:24 left, 5-point game. Still going to be a tough to overcome. But Northwestern started kind of falling apart a little bit. And I think they tried to go, they played not to lose that game. And so they gave up some easy shots to Iowa, thinking, well, no big deal. We'll get fouled. You know, everything will be fine. So with 42 seconds left, Wieskamp makes a layup. 3-point game. Tyler Cook fouls Derek Pardon. And he goes down, makes two free throws. Back to a 5-point game. But 8 seconds later, with 25 seconds left, Jordan Bohannon goes down, makes layup, cuts it to a 3-point game. That's where things get interesting. Northwestern inbounds the ball. A.J. Taylor gets the ball and gets fouled. 80% free throw shooter goes to the line, and he misses the front end of the 1-and-1. So Iowa gets the rebound. Get it to Moss, and Moss does oftentimes in that situation, you'll see teams just throw up a 3-pointer. We've seen Iowa do it before. We've seen a lot of other teams do it before. But Isaiah Moss does a great drive to the hoop, gets the layup, makes it 1-point game. So after Moss makes that layup to make it a 1-point game, Joe Wieskamp fouls Vic Law with 10 seconds left. Now, Vic Law is an 83% free throw shooter on the year. He goes down and makes the first one to make it 79-77. Misses the second one. Tyler Cook gets the rebound. Throws it out to Connor McCaffrey, who drives it down, and then tries to make a pass. Well, after that, it got kicked, and the refs ended up going and reviewing what happened and the time clock and all that. And I know some people out there hate that rule. I don't think it should be allowed that they can just go and, you know, review stuff like that. It basically gives the team, you know, both teams, but, you know, more in particular the home team, a chance to draw up a play. And with 3 seconds left, that's exactly what they did. Tyler Cook screened for Bohannon. Bohannon got the ball, dribbled, threw up a shot, and nailed the three-pointer for one of the most improbable comebacks in Iowa history. Still, there's 0.6 seconds left. Northwestern takes a timeout and then inbounds it to Derek Pardon, who got a great look at a three-pointer. Luckily, he missed it. I thought for sure that he was going to get fouled or it was going to go in, because that's the way that things happen for Iowa. But Iowa wins and pulls off an amazing comeback somehow. Let's not sugarcoat it at all, because Northwestern certainly deserved and should have won that game. Iowa got very lucky and pulled it out. Bohannon did a little magic, and they ended up pulling off a big game. That full court press they ran really stifled Northwestern quite a bit, and they had a hard time breaking it. But in the end, they won the game. That's all that matters, and they move on. They're 8-5 in the conference now, 19-5 overall. Coming up this next week, they travel to New Jersey to play Rutgers. That is at 5 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. You know, Rutgers is a team that is currently sitting at 11-12, but they've had some pretty decent wins. It won't be easy by any stretch of the imagination. They did beat Indiana 66-58. They have also beat Ohio State this year. They beat Nebraska as well, Penn State. They lost to Illinois in their last game, 99-94 in overtime, and that was on Saturday. So, you know, it'll be a tough game. Iowa usually does struggle at Piscataway. We'll see how it goes. They should win it, but see what happens. After that, they got Maryland at home. That'll be the 19th at 7 o'clock on BTN. That'll be a big home game. I imagine the crowd will be pretty lively for that one. Maryland always seems to give Iowa fits, so we'll see how that goes. Then after that, they got Ohio State, Rutgers, Wisconsin, at Wisconsin, and at Nebraska. So we're hitting the home stretch here. We got last 7 games. They could potentially go 20, you know, they could go 26-5 on the year. Realistically, I see them being at 24-25 wins. But we've seen these McCaffrey teams falter down the stretch before, so we'll see what happens. There's a lot of season left. They got the tournaments after the season, so as long as Iowa doesn't collapse, they should get a decent seeding. Most brackets I've seen have them at a 6 seed currently, some at a 5. You know, it's not impossible that they could still get the Des Moines game, but we'll see what happens there. They got to keep playing well, and hopefully play better than they did against Northwestern. Play like they did at the end of that game for most of the game next time. On the women's side of things, they've had a pretty good week. On Thursday, they beat number 23 Michigan State 86-71 at home. And Sunday, today, they beat Ohio State at Ohio State 78-52 to move on to 19-5 and 10-3 in the Big Ten. They are currently second in the Big Ten Conference, 1 game behind Maryland. Megan Gustafson had another monster game. She had 29 points in that game and likely on her way to another Big Ten Player of the Week award. Got her 75th career double-double against Penn State a week ago. So, to me, and maybe I'm a little biased, but to me, she should be the National Player of the Year on the women's side. Leads the nation in points, double-doubles, wins every single Big Ten Women's Player of the Week. So she should, without a doubt, to me, be the National Player of the Year. I think it was Jay Billis put out his list and didn't even have Megan Gustafson on it, which I don't see how that is even possible. I mean, Iowa is currently rated 16th and 19-5 on the year, so I don't see how she couldn't win it. She's been on a tear. For any of you who follow the women's basketball game, cherish these last few games you have, because after she's gone, we're really going to miss her. She's been absolutely incredible out there. You know, what else can you say about her that hasn't been said? That last game of the year, they should, last home game of the year, senior night against Northwestern on the 3rd, they should take her out, retire her number right there, and that should be it. She's the best player in Iowa women's basketball history, without a doubt. So they coming up, they got Illinois at home on the 14th, and then they got number 10 Maryland, who is number 1, who's the Big Ten leader right now, at home on the 17th, and that'll be on ESPN2 for anybody interested in watching that one. That will be a big one. For a women's game, I expect there to be a pretty good crowd for that one. This will be a big game. It'll be huge. A lot of Big Ten implications in it. So we'll have to see how that turns out. Hopefully well. And we'll see what happens after that. But got a lot of exciting stuff coming up with the women's and men's teams winding down their seasons. A lot of game left to play, a lot of tournaments still left to play, but you got to feel good about both of the men and women's teams for Iowa. But not only that, but you know, across the state, really, the Iowa State men and women have played very well this year. And I know you're listening to a Hawkeye podcast and don't want to hear that, but the better they do, both the Iowa women's and men team beat Iowa State, so you know, the better they do, the better it is for Iowa. The Drake men have done okay this year up until their starting point guard got hurt. The Drake women have, you know, don't lose in the Missouri Valley, so obviously they're pretty good. Poor Northern Iowa has been kind of down this year, but you know, that happens. So really, all across the state, the basketball teams have been very good and very interesting to watch. And that really wraps it up for this week in Iowa sports. It's been a very exciting week, a very good week overall. The Northwestern game didn't look like it was going to go too well, but it ended up being one of the most exciting Iowa games of all time. So that's really about it for the week. Thank you to anyone out there who has listened to this podcast. I know it's hard to kind of get a grip, and especially something so specific as Iowa Hawkeyes. But if you gave it a try, thank you very much. I do appreciate it. If you like the show or, you know, are interested in it, please follow the show on Twitter, @BleedingBG. Once again, @BleedingBG. There you can comment, write, or DM me, ask questions, tell me how I can improve the show. This is my first podcast, so I would be very interested in knowing how to improve it. Give me your comments, your thoughts about the games. I would be happy to discuss them on the air, give you credit for them, mention you on the next podcast. I hope to do one again next week. We'll see how this one does, see if anybody listens to it. If I get some, then I'll gladly do another one. I would love to do this more often, you know, at least make it a weekly thing. Maybe put in a special every now and then. I know the football season's over with, but I'd like to talk about that more. There's a lot going on there with recruiting, transfer portal stuff, you know, all kinds of stuff going on there, you know. So it would be something that I would, you know, feel interested in. I follow the recruiting somewhat, so I could give some insight on that. Talk about other things. We got a lot of subjects we can talk about, so give me some ideas, thoughts, let me know. And hopefully next week I'll be making another one. So once again, follow this page, Bleeding Black and Gold, @BleedingBG on Twitter. And feel free to leave comments or thoughts or anything like that. And until next time, thank you very much. I'll talk to you again next week.